We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. Welcome to Duck Insider. Duck Insider. Insider. On the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
What a race. It's over, baby.
Pressure. Hit. And now, ball comes out.
Did you think that was coming?
Oh, wait. No one.
He's taking it to the house.
Crossover to the bucket. 4-2.
And Oregon wins it.
The Ducks are Pac-12 champions.
Goes inside. Right hand.
With 7-3
out top. Good! Final four!
This is Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Now, here's your host, Joey Mack.
A good Tuesday to everybody joining us for Duck Insider across the Oregon Sports Network. I'm Joey Mack. Thanks for being with us. You can follow me on Twitter at JoeyMackUO and send those suggestions our way for this Oregon defense. What should we call this Oregon defense this year? It was a big topic on the show yesterday, and a lot of people have been clamoring. What do you nickname it? Well, we actually have gone through and figured out some of those top names. We'll do that for you in a little while coming up. Get through some of those big names. We also have a lot of interviews. And by a lot of interviews, I mean a ton of interviews on the show today, including Oregon offensive coordinator Marcus Arroyo. We're going to hear from him in just a moment. And the tight end position is a big focus right now. For the Ducks in particular, Hunter Campmoyer, Ryan Bay. We're going to hear from Spencer Webb as well, C.J. Verdell, Shane Lemieux. Those interviews are all coming your way today. And ahead of this weekend's Cancer Awareness Game at Pape Field, Oregon soccer head coach Cap Mertz will be with us on the program. And more of your Facebook comments and questions. We begin today with some good news on the midseason All-American front for Oregon football, as the Ducks were in full pads today. Some of those guys in full pads included Penei Sewell and Diamondor Lenore, who have been named to the Pro Football Focus midseason All-American team. Pretty impressive. For those who are unaware, Pro Football Focus is kind of a next-gen, if you will, analytics system that goes through and gives grades for football players, and they've started in the NFL, now expanded to college, and they give kind of a graded breakdown of everything that happens in a football game, and some of the best ones, best grades, have come by Oregon Ducks, Penei Sewell, and Diamondor Lenore. Now, The other one that sucks is Jake Breland, was also named to the Pro Football Focus midseason All-America squad. Unfortunately, Jacob Breland will miss the rest of the season, though he was at practice today. It was good to see Jacob Breland at practice today. Him and Cam McCormick standing next to each other, that was the starting two deep at the start of the year. So the depth of the tight end position is being tested. That's why we're going to hear from some of those guys coming up in just a little while ahead of the 12:30 game on Saturday in Seattle. ABC for TV and a 10:30 pregame for us across the Oregon Sports Network. But Panay Sewell, Jacob Breland, D'Amador Lenore, midseason All-Americans according to Pro Football Focus, and Shane Lemieux was on the second team announced by Pro Football Focus today. Also coming out today, the Associated Press midseason All-American team, left tackle Panay Sewell, left guard Shane Lemieux, and tight end Jake Breland, all named to the first team, which, by the way, that's tied for the most on the first team in the nation with LSU and Wisconsin. Well, Oregon and Wisconsin tied for the least amount of touchdowns allowed defensively this year. Makes sense that you see a lot of those guys on the first team All-American list at the midseason mark for the Associated Press. Pretty impressive. Pro Football Focus has graded Oregon's offensive line as the best pretty much throughout the entire season, and we're seeing why. Some of those funny things that happened during Husky Week, well, we have a lot of them to tell you about. If you're not following at the Oregon Duck on Twitter, you should. Because he's been having a lot of fun with his friend, of course, Harry the Husky, and it's Husky Week, so you gotta have some fun with it. His Twitter account has just been amazing, and throughout the course of the show and throughout the course of the week, we're gonna have some. One of them being at Harry the Husky prefers plain hot dogs. At Harry the Husky thought American Choppers was a show about helicopters. And at Harry the Husky chews with his mouth open. I mean, the duck is just, this is priceless. This is priceless stuff. We're going to drop some of these in and keep following at the Oregon Duck on Twitter over the course of the show today, because this is just awesome. It's hilarious. Before we talk with Marcus Arroyo, the Oregon offensive coordinator, and we hear some of those best nicknames that have been submitted in the last 24 hours for this Oregon defense, and Fale Dante, there was news today in The Athletic. I want to read you part of what he said to The Athletic, the recruit for Oregon. And he said, quote, "I left my home 4 years ago with a dream and three goals, graduate from high school, attend university, and play college basketball. None of that has changed," Dante said to The Athletic. He continued in part to say, "I plan to enroll and play college basketball at the University of Oregon. I have completed my academic requirements and I'm currently waiting for the eligibility process to finalize." So I see all the same reports that you guys do. Hopefully some, I guess, wait and see as we move forward now getting ready for that Oregon basketball season, which, by the way, we are 15 days away from the start of Oregon basketball season. The green and yellow scrimmage for both men and women's basketball is October 30th. Mark your calendars. That's coming up very, very quickly. Before we talk offense, and we talk all about that tight end position, which we're going to do, we're going to take some of your Facebook comments and questions, more from at the Oregon Duck on Twitter and Husky Week. The best Oregon defense nickname suggestions. So we went through and put together what we thought were the top ones. Well, we got one submission, and this came from Oregon Club as well. Yellow fever, like gangrene, right? I mean, you know, it makes sense. Like, those are some bad things. You don't want that to show up in your doctor's report. Shock Flock, I think, is my leader in the clubhouse. I think I would go with Shock Flock. I liked Flock and Awe. I thought that was kind of funny. We had some other ones, you know, like, that were, like, Green Rain and stuff like that. I think that was too close to Washington. A lot of people pointed that out, and we had some other good ones. But then, of course, Gangrene 2.0. And remember, that's what Brady Breeze said. Brady Breeze, he said, we want to be like Gangrene 2.0. That's what this defense is doing. Midway through the season, six games in, I think the Ducks have lived up to that gangrene idea. And it was Nick Aliotti who kind of coined that term for Oregon football in 1994. That's, I mean, I think that Oregon has hit those standards. Now, a lot of football still to be played. But if this keeps up, it's going to be a historic Oregon defense. They're already on a historic run, but the entire season could be pretty historic before long. I'm Joey Mack. More of your Facebook comments and questions coming up, but let's hear from Marcus Arroyo talking a lot about that tight end position, the Oregon offensive coordinator, breaking down what guys like Hunter Campmore, Ryan Bay, Spencer Webb, and Patrick Herbert have been doing in practice since Jacob Breland has been ruled out for the remainder of the season. Marcus Arroyo, Oregon offensive coordinator, talked with the media after practice today.
You know, Washington's true to form, you know, well-coached team, tough, physical, great coaches, great players. They run a real aggressive scheme that's fundamentally sound, and they do some really nice things. Pretty pretty quintessential Chris Peterson team.
How was the game plan change with Breland out?
Well, we got to have guys, you know, step up at the tight end position, you know, Bay and Kent Moyer, and then, you know, I think, you know, young Herbert's going to have a chance to try to get in there and see if he can, you know, obviously develop a little quicker than maybe we anticipated. But we're a tight end developed team, you know. We've got to move forward, and it's really, really unfortunate the way Breland was playing, and you know, a lot of us are hurt for that and hurting for him, but move forward.
Any consideration of moving Webb back from wide receiver to tight end?
Yeah, there's consideration of it. You know, it just got to make sure it fits. You know, you want to give guys the best opportunity to succeed. And sliding guys in and out of roles, you got to be careful on, you know, cutting off your nose to spite your face in a lot of ways, and not giving them a chance to succeed at something they've been doing. So, considerations for sure.
How difficult is that for in general, but then in particular a younger guy who's, this is his second year in the system, of having to bounce around? I mean, it kind of makes sense when you can do it with like a Throckmorton. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at, is you got to be careful with just saying, oh, he was that tight end and go back. He's a younger guy who we moved around already, and he started to develop at another position, and he's got a lot of stuff in his mind at wide receiver. To just flopping back in a tight end of midseason and think that you're going to, you know, have proper form and things of that regard, you got to be careful, you know. So, yeah, that's accurate.
How big was that bye week just in reestablishing the run game? Last couple games, turnovers aside, ran the ball well against Cal, ran the ball even better against Colorado. What's the biggest difference been between what happened before the bye week and what's happened since?
You know, I think it's just a chance as you move throughout the season, you hope you start gelling. And the word sink you asked about a couple weeks ago, sinking better and better as the season goes on with guys and moving together with what you think that you went into camp with and developed. And I think the bye week gave us a chance just because, you know, in that proper time of the season, a chance to sit back and really divulge what we were doing and together and talk about it and put it on paper and then continue to do what we were doing. And I think that this showed up the last couple of weeks. Guys have done a great job.
Obviously, personnel changes year in and year out, you know, especially for Washington, no more Ben Burke-Irvin there. I mean, how much of a difference does that make when you take a playmaker like that, almost like an Evan Weaver-type guy, out of that rotation then game plan for this new defense?
Yeah, I think that there's two pieces of game planning when you talk about personnel. It's guys like Brent Kirvin last year and Weaver and this thing. You know, you guys can take those things in consideration with the grand scheme of things. And, you know, they're got great players in this team, too. They put their guys in the position to succeed. That, you know, Kirvin was an awesome player, did a bunch of things. We took him in consideration the whole week last week and or last year during this time and tried to put our best foot forward and did so and came out victorious, which was nice. And I think this year is going to be the same thing. Got to make sure that we take in consideration everything they're doing. And can't just point at one guy in particular, but oh, they got enough guys to make plays. They're doing a great job.
What kind of energy does a rivalry week bring?
Well, I think it's something you get excited about. I think that's the pageantry in college. You know, that's what makes it pretty special in a lot of ways. When you've got you know, two groups and kind of cheering against each other in a lot of regard, it brings up the pageantry of the whole thing, and it's exciting for our guys. And you got to make sure there's a fine line there of getting lost and in the emotion of a game. You can't, you know, you got to play with emotion, but you can't let the emotion play with you. And in a lot of ways, you can't just go ahead and try to all of a sudden change the way you play. You got to go out and make sure that you do the things that are that still result in winning, and then focus on obviously being in a hostile environment in a road game and a conference game versus a really good opponent.
That's five straight games with Red scoring a touchdown. Has that been a part of the game plan, or has he just been a go-to guy?
I hope Red scores every game. Yes, absolutely.
What do you make of his? Is he elevated his game a little bit, or kind of found his groove in the offense?
I think Red's a good example of a guy in now his third year that's developed. And you got to remember, Red played running back in high school too, you know. And so we put a wide receiver here when he got here. I think that he's done an awesome job, man. He's playing. He's tough for, you know, pound for pound, one of the toughest guys we got on the team. And he's a leader, one of the leaders of our offense. And so he's done an awesome job of developing, and we get him the ball in multiple ways. He's pretty valuable.
Marcus, what was that feeling like when you made the call in overtime last year to run? You know, obviously the entire stadium was expecting pass. For that to work out like that, were you nervous going into that split second, or did you know that was a home run play in that situation?
No, I felt good. I think we used we used a timeout right before it because I had a conversation about something I saw. And so we huddled up, and I said, this is what we're going to do. And I think they were probably like the stadium was, thinking of something be something else, and it worked out, you know. Guys executed up front, and that was an awesome job. I mean, that was a great job by our guys. You know, we had some guys who got injured that game and filled in, and CJ was a freshman, and it was the right time. And our guys, you know, executed. It's all about execution. No matter really the play call, it's to execute well, and it worked out. You know, it was an awesome job. But this week is about a different story. It's a whole new week, whole new year, and we got to go out and do it on the road.
So what are the keys to replacing Jacob Breland, who obviously was so productive for you?
Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, you got to be careful with saying, hey, do you just replace a guy who's being that valuable right now? If you have another guy, we just got to make sure the next guys are ready to go. Cam Moyer in the Bay and finding guys to spell that role and be productive in that regard in what we're doing offensively, you know. And those guys did a great job starting today and meetings yesterday. And I think we're, you know, I said to someone earlier, we're bummed about Breland. It's a huge loss for us, but we got to keep going. You know, it's no different than having six wideouts down at the beginning of the season. You know, you just got to find a way. No one's going to stop the game.
Your two tackles are getting a lot of noise this week of midseason All-American lists, and they don't have stats for offensive linemen. Which, what do you make of their play and just how they've continued to get better week after week, it seems like?
Yeah, they've done an awesome job. You know, those guys don't have stat lines. Those guys just have – they got the bulk work they have up front, and they got the dirty work, and they do an awesome job. And they and Throck are two of the best in the country, and we're fortunate to have them. Great leaders for us in offense, and they're doing a great job through midseason, you know.
Marcus, where did Breland rank for you? Because, I mean, as far as tight ends you've worked with, because historically speaking, he was on pace to potentially be the best tight end in program history if he kept it up. He might have been a Mackey winner. Was he at that ilk? Was he the best tight end you had worked with in your career at the college level?
Yeah, he was he did a really nice job for himself this season, you know, especially coming off just this story over the course of his career. You know, he just did such a good job putting himself in position. We got a couple of other guys, Rogers, who's with the Packers now at Cal, who's a really good tight end, and couple of guys here and there, but Breland was doing an awesome job. It's really unfortunate, and he put himself in a great position. We're going to miss him.
Cyrus got an uptick in reps last week. Was that a situational thing, or is that more game plan?
He paid me. Cyrus has done an awesome job. You know, we had CJ go down the game before, and his reps went up then, and he's done a really good job, man. Cyrus is a physical back. He's running hard. He's productive right now, and we don't deny production.
That was funny. When Coach said that, I just had to chuckle. He paid me. Nobody in the media laughed. I thought that was funny. Oh, that was great. That's Marcus Arroyo. Every assistant coach interview brought to you by the Moreno Valley Cancer Institute and Research Center. Fight like a duck with cancer care you can count on. If you haven't seen what's been going on at Autzen Stadium on the field and the cancer hero of the game, fight like a duck with cancer care you can count on. Thanks to our friends at Moreno Valley Cancer Institute and Research Center. It's been a really cool promotion and really cool recognition going on at Autzen Stadium. Coming up, we're going to follow the Oregon Duck on Twitter a little more, because it's Husky Week. And when we come back, hear from the tight ends. Who's stepping up in Jacob Breland's absence for the rest of the year? That's next on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Some 2020 Duck football season tickets are up for grabs. A chance to win them if you head to your local neighborhood Jackson's now between November 27th, I should say. Purchase select Pepsi products with the Jackson's Let's Go reward card. You'll be automatically entered for a chance to win 4 season tickets between the 40s next season. Hey, I've seen a lot of people talking about Marcus Mariota, and obviously as Oregon fans, we're all kind of Titan fans as a result, but man, I don't know what to make of what's going on in Tennessee. So I'll just say this. I hope that Marcus Mariota finds a great situation and ends up showing all of the skills that we all know as Oregon fans that he has. Let's go back to at the Oregon Duck on Twitter. At Harry the Husky watches paint dry for fun. And at Harry the Husky's favorite show is Big Bang Theory. Hey, the Duck, I like Big Bang Theory. Thank you very much. He continued, at Harry the Husky doesn't like Lamp. Follow at the Oregon. Oregon Duck on Twitter. It's Husky Week, and he's going to be having some fun. He is the best mascot in college sports, and there is no debate there. Hunter Camp Moyer, he talked to the media after practice today, as did the rest of the tight ends, Ryan Bay, Spencer Webb. Didn't hear from Patrick Herbert, though, but I imagine that you're going to hear more and more about Patrick Herbert coming up, and a lot of people wanting to see that Herbert-Herbert connection. We'll see if it comes to fruition. That tight end depth is being tested. Hunter Campmore, one of the guys stepping up in the absence of Jacob Breland, and Hunter Campmore talked to the media after practice today.
Moment here looks like to have a shot to make a what kind of how are you approaching this weekend? Does it feel different given the circumstances?
We just need to step up. You know, with Jake going down, it's really unfortunate having a teammate and a friend go down like that. But, you know, we need to step up. Season's going to continue. And me and Bay and Pat and Spence all need to step up our roles and help contribute to get the win.
What kind of work, have you had a chance to talk with Jake at all, or kind of what's that been like?
Yeah, you know, it's tough for him. It's tough for all of us. You know, like I said, you don't want to see a friend get hurt like that, lose his season. It's really unfortunate, but we're there for him, you know, with whatever he needs, you know, encouragement, helping him through the process. You know, he's attacking the recovery process already, so.
I know coming into fall, you were talking about making strides as a receiver. You feel like you've made those, and you're in a position here where you're going to have more balls thrown your way, likely.
Yeah, it's still something I'm working on every day. You know, if, like I said, during the fall, it's something I tried to work on a lot. And, you know, I have gotten better, but I still got to continue to work on it and get better and better at every opportunity I get.
That's that one in the end zone where you either have to be 4 inches taller or Herbert's got to drop it down a little bit compared to Breland?
Yeah, that one was on me. I should have jumped a little higher. Got to work on
can
that way.
Can you jump a little higher?
Yeah, I think I can.
Is part of that also the guy throwing the ball throws it maybe harder than a lot of guys out to throw the ball?
No, he put it in a perfect spot. You know, that one was on me. I should have had that one. I guess I wasn't really expecting it, I guess, and misjudged the ball a little. But that one's all on me, not on him. It was perfect on his part.
Of all the opponents to have, I mean, you don't get a pick. And, again, it sucks that Breland goes down. But of all the opponents I have to pick against to go to, like, this might be one of the more physical tests.
Absolutely.
Like you're not walking in where this is FCS. This isn't a blowout or anything. This is going to be tough for you right out of the gate.
Yes,
how
sir.
Do you feel about this challenge?
It's going to be a great challenge. You know, Washington's a really good team, really physical team. It's going to be a great challenge for me and Bay to work our run blocking, be physical on the line of scrimmage. You know, we're confident in our abilities. You know, like I said, they're a really good team, really physical team. It's going to be a great challenge for us, but you know, we're working really hard.
Confidence level that you can do the whole thing. I mean, do you feel like it's going to be split between blocking and receiving a little bit between guys, or do you feel like you're able to take the whole role?
Yeah, I think you know, we're all going to get the opportunity to block and run routes and get balls and whatnot. You know, like I said, with Jake going down, all of our roles have increased, and we're all working on every aspect of our game, blocking, route running, catching, all that. So I think we're all going to get opportunities.
What's kind of been the mood and practice from your group? Obviously, I think Spencer comes back from wide receiver. Now you got four guys. How has it kind of been?
Just, you know, unfortunate Jake went down, but next man up. Like I said, we all need to continue to work hard. We're all getting an opportunity to show what we can do. And we plan on taking advantage of it, getting better every day, every opportunity that we get.
That's Big Hunter Campmoyer. He's had an intense career for the Ducks, has been on both sides of the ball. I think getting better and better at that tight end position. And he said it best, it's next duck up. Injuries are the worst part of sports, especially when they happen to a senior. I feel for guys like Gus Cumberlander and Jacob Breland, but it is next duck up. And so guys like Hunter Campmoyer going to be, I think, a big impact this weekend. Similarly, Ryan Bay. First, though, let's get back to @TheOregonDuck on Twitter. You know, he's having some fun. If you don't follow @TheOregonDuck, he and his counterpart at Washington, Harry the Husky, continuing with the tweet storm. The latest, Harry the Husky can't catch a Frisbee to save his life. Harry the Husky eats his Hot Pockets cold. At Harry the Husky, when asked if he wants sparkling or still says toilet. Oh, this is great. Oh, this is great. The Oregon Duck is a national treasure. We can all agree, can't we? Oh, meanwhile, the guys who will be actually on the field playing the Huskies. We as fans get to do this, but, you know, the players, look, this is a rivalry game, and there's a lot that goes into it, but it's still a football game nonetheless. And Ryan Bay was talking a little bit about that the kind of the history of the rivalry. He's been through it. He's an Oregonian. He knows what this rivalry is all about, and also a little bit of a scouting report on this defense that Washington brings to the table. Ryan Bay talked with the media after practice today.
I got a buddy on there from Beaverton, and we've kind of been rivals ever since, you know, high school. I went to Tigard, he went to Beaverton, so definitely is a carryover, but then just the history and the legacy, just knowing about Oregon and Washington, but it's going to be a good game. Two, you know, hard-fought teams going to go at it, so I'm pretty excited.
As an Oregonian, do you think it means just a little bit more to you than other people?
Oh, definitely, you know, carrying that pride, you know, from Oregon and just, you know, being a Duck fan my whole life and then now being able to contribute and play in the game, so it definitely has a lot more meaning.
And then are you expecting to have a little bit more contribution this Saturday with, obviously, Jacob Breland going down?
Yeah, it's unfortunate for my brother, but we're going to step up as a unit as we have before, and definitely going to, Hunter and I are going to, even Patrick Herbert are going to have to step up, so I'm pretty excited for it.
Yeah. So you know, obviously, so much of the history of the game. You grew up watching the games. What have you been passing along to some of the underclassmen who maybe don't know this rivalry as well as you do?
You know, they'll learn quick. It's just that, you know, like the Ducks and the Huskies, you know, we're going to go at it, and, you know, it's going to be a fun game. And, again, just two tough physical teams. But I think this, that, you know, you'll learn quick, just like the Oregon State rivalry. You know, it's just battle for Northwest. And I know they're excited, and, you know, they're starting to catch on, and, you know, it's going to be exciting to see. So.
And you guys had the audio cranked up there, crowd noise in practice I could hear.
Yeah.
How was that?
You know, just preparing for the environment. You know, Ladd Stadium, a lot of people. Just always go prepared to the conditions, so we can't make it rain. We don't know if it's going to rain, but, you know, just doing the best we can just to prepare like we're going to play, so that's how we do it.
What kind of potential does Spencer Webb have?
A lot. You know, a lot of guys, we always say, you know, potential. A lot of guys who come in here have potential. He works hard, and he's definitely going to get his shots and continue to get, you know, a lot more reps. And, you know, he's worked hard as wide receiver now, and I'm proud of him, and he's going to continue to get better. So,
what's the scouting report on Washington's defense? What do you see?
Good defense. You know, they're physical up front. D-line is really good. Safeties, all around good. You know, we know their defense is going to be tough, and we got to bring our O-line and physicality up there, but it's definitely going to be a battle. So it's going to be exciting.
One word to describe the rivalry.
One word. It's all about pride. There it is.
That's a good answer from Ryan Bay, isn't it? It is all about pride. When you get these rivalry games, you know, there's always things that fire you up and everything like that, but it is all about pride at the end of the day. That's Ryan Bay. All right, we've heard from Hunter Campmore and Ryan Bay. Continuing with our focus on the tight ends, of course, a lot of people wondering who's going to step up in Jacob Breland's absence, because Jacob Breland tied for the most catches on the team, most receiving yards, and most touchdowns. That's certainly a void to replace. Who's going to step up in that tight end spot? Maybe it's a young guy, Spencer Webb. We're going to hear from him when we come back. More after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
After 2 years of construction, my wife and I finally moved into our dream home. So when a bathtub fixture broke, causing major water damage, I was glad we had the home insurance protection we needed. How do you know your home is protected? Talk to a Country Financial rep like me, Nick Simon. We can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs. Then if something happens to your home, you won't have any surprises. Need the right coverage for your home but not sure where to start? Visit TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local Country representative.
Every great community has its own rhythm. And beat by beat, note by note, when you bank at On Point Community Credit Union, you play your part. Because On Point is about more than great banking. From financial education to supporting local schools, we invest our time, money, and energy to partner with local organizations that foster health and knowledge for everyone who calls this place home. And together, there's nothing we can't do. So join in. We're On Point Community Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
More Duck Insider coming up on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Millions plan for retirement online, estimate your future benefits, apply for retirement, and manage your benefits all from the comfort of your home. And give yourself the freedom to do what you want offline. Social Security's online services help put you in control with secure access to your information anytime, anywhere, allowing you to spend more time with family, friends, or simply just enjoying the day. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
We're back on Duck Insider, presented by Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack here with you. I'm a little bit distracted because we got the game on. It's postseason baseball, which is like one of my favorite things in the world. And if you're live with us in the 1 o'clock hour, let's just say that the Astros are on to something here. So we'll see if they can get it done. The Senior Associate Athletic Director here at Oregon in charge of communications, Jimmy Stanton, used to work for the Astros. So we're all just in his honor, kind of, I think, Astros fans right now, just because we want Jimmy to be happy. Correa popped out. All right. This was one of the best comments that we've seen in a while. Brad says, for this week only, the defense should be the dog catchers. That's good. That's really, really good, Brad. I think that we might need to amend our graphic just for this week. Gangrene was just so good because, like, Nick Aliotti embraced it and it was awesome. And I tend to like Shock Flock. I just think that has a nice ring to it. You know, but the identity of this defense, right, is being aggressive, getting after the quarterback, causing negative plays. And I don't think anything that they're doing is shocking, but I don't know. Shock Flock just has such a good ring to it. Elsewhere, as we continue talking a little bit more about the offense, Spencer Webb, guy who kind of asserted himself onto the scene, didn't he, with that big touchdown catch against Auburn, but lower on the depth chart because Ducks had guys like Jacob Breland in front of him. Now, is he going to be one of those guys that steps up? He's gone back and forth between wide receiver and tight end. He talked about what that process has been like after practice today. Spencer Webb.
You feel for Breland and what happened to him. What kind of opportunity is this for you to pick up the slack for his injury?
It's a great opportunity. I mean, obviously, it sucks having Breland go down, best tight end in the country, in my opinion. But it's just next man up, and that's what coach teaches, is just next man up. So count your opportunities and make plays, and everything will work out.
Is it pretty easy to jump back over to tight end for you?
Yeah, I mean, I remember the plays. I've been doing it for about 2 years now, so it's not a hard transition, just right back with the old boys I used to go with, so I'm excited.
What is the biggest change? Is it just the increase in blocking and being with a hand down on the line of scrimmage? Is that really it, as opposed to route running?
It was a lot like switching to wide receiver. There's a lot of technique that goes with it, so you just got to get your technique back, make sure your hands are inside, driving your feet. It's all the same stuff, just different positions.
What was different, I guess, from a day-to-day perspective, practicing at wide receiver as opposed to tight end, and how has it changed now?
It's a lot more intense. I mean, you're going heads a lot. You just got to be just physical. It's a physical game, especially that position. And then, you know, receiver, you're just running a lot, doing, you know, running and catching balls, where tight end, you're doing both, so.
You said you'd maybe cut some weight previously. Did you have to are you planning on putting some back on?
I've been eating pretty good, so feels nice to put that weight back on.
What does that mean, eating pretty good? Like, what's your go-to right now?
Burgers, pizza, all the good stuff, yeah.
How excited are you to play in a hostile environment in a rivalry game?
I'm super excited. It's going to be a big game for us. I'm excited. I mean, it's just another game. Do our thing, and we should come out on top.
What has been some of the messages from some of the older guys who have played in this rivalry more than you have? What are they passing along to you as far as, like, okay, it's Husky Hate Week? Here's what it is.
We want to keep the W in Eugene, obviously. Last year was a great game. So just do our thing. Worry about practice. Have two good full days of practice. And then on Saturday, just everything will work itself out.
Can time at wide receiver help you as a tight end, maybe in terms of some of the pass catching stuff?
Definitely, yeah. Coach Bo has helped me, you know, with technique and stuff. A lot of it's just technique, especially in college, is making sure you're technically sound. So when you're running routes at tight end, you're going to have, like, you know, a backer, a bigger guy on you. So using technique and size to get away from them, it helps a lot.
Had you been only wide receiver group practicing last month or so, or had you been taking some tight end reps?
Been doing a little both. Just getting where I can, you know, just we all run routes together and stuff. So it doesn't, you know, same routes, just different positions.
Spencer Webb, good stuff with the hybrid guy, I guess you can call him now, right? He's played some tight end, played some wide receiver. I loved those of you who are watching the show. You could just see Marcus Arroyo, the Oregon offensive coordinator, came up. Just wanted to listen in on what Spencer Webb was saying, and I see Ben saw that. I got a kick out of it, too. He's just observing what his guys are saying. That's a tight end position. So who steps up? I think you're going to see a combination of all those guys in the absence of Jacob Breland. But it's certainly going to look a little different without the top receiver on this Oregon team. We're going to hear from Cap Mertz, head coach Oregon soccer, coming up in a moment. moment. More from the Oregon Duck on Twitter. But I do want to talk a little bit about the run game. CJ Verdell talked with the media after practice today, and I think that we can agree that Oregon got back to the identity that they want, running the football. And the run game looked pretty darn good, didn't it? CJ Verdell talked with the media after practice today.
Past couple of weeks, have you felt that? Is that a fair assessment?
I feel like I run hard. You know, every time I try to go out there and run hard every time I go on the field. But you know, the O line did a great job this week. So I've been doing a great job every week. But this week, you know, I just definitely tried to give them all for them. And whatever open hole they created, I just tried to take it, hit my hardest.
You're talking about trying to build that chemistry a little bit between the O line and the running backs, especially in that bye week a couple weeks ago. Do you think now it's maybe starting to bear out a little bit more than it did early?
You know, that's just, you know, this comes with the season, you know, ebbs and flows of the season. You know, there's going to be ups and downs sometimes. But, you know, we're definitely clicking. Each day in practice, you know, we're getting more and more comfortable with each other, and it's all starting to gel.
Why does it feel different between early in the season and now? What has changed there?
Man, I'll just say just more game time reps and just repping it out and actually seeing how it feels against live opponents and stuff, and just being able to come in on Sundays, watch the film, and just make those corrections and little things, just pick up on the little things and stuff.
I feel like we did. Where, I mean, 171, that's your highest since that Civil War game, and I'd argue Colorado might be a better opponent. So what did it feel like to have that kind of production again?
I felt great. You know, I got to give credit to my own line. Without those guys blocking and doing what they did up front, I wouldn't have had any of those.
Where does last year's walk-off touchdown rank for you? Where does that play? Where does that moment mean to you?
Man, it was a huge moment. I don't know how it ranks. It's definitely a great moment, but I'm not looking too much into that. I'm just ready to focus on this Washington team we got on Saturday.
Got a strong front seven, that Washington team. Maybe not as strong as in past years, but what jumps out to you and has jumped out to you when you've watched the film on them?
Oh, everybody. You know, they're a very physical group, very sound group. I'm just ready. You know, to be honest, I'm ready to just get after those guys. You know, just ready to continue to have another great day of practice tomorrow. Just come in today, later on today, watch the film, correct some things, you know, just keep working.
Do you like these games maybe a little bit more as a running back where it's a strong front seven maybe instead of a game where it looks like you might pass more, really want to try and mash it on them?
To be honest, I look at every game the same way. You know, I look at every opponent the same way as, you know, I want to come over there and try to beat you guys, you know, as a team. So I'm not even really focused on anything other than that.
What's it like to play in this rivalry? I mean, you got a great taste for last year. It came down to overtime.
Oh, definitely. If you know, it's definitely a great rivalry. You know, just Oregon and Washington, you know, have definitely a huge tradition here. So it means a lot to the community and a lot to the players and the seniors that have been here for a long time. So, you know, I just want to go out there and do what I can for them.
CJ Verdell, the Oregon running back, he talked to the media after practice today. Coming up, we're going to hear a little bit more from Oregon football, including the Oregon Duck on Twitter, because it is Husky Week, and, well, the Duck is just super entertaining. But first, we're going to talk with Oregon soccer head coach Kat Mertz. She's here. We're going to talk about all things Duck soccer, including Cancer Awareness Game coming up this weekend. That's all next on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
The game clock is winding down, and so is that plate of piping hot steak nachos. Your eyes are on the last play, but they're also on that last chip, piled high with succulent steak, lending its deep flavor to all the fixins. Just as you reach in, so does your buddy. Game on. Beef, it's what's for dinner.
Brought to you by the ranchers and farmers of Oregon and the Beef Checkoff.
Every stage of life brings something new. Your first real job unlocks a world of financial possibilities and maybe a need for a great rewards credit card. A baby on the way could mean that a new home is more important than ever, but it'll take the right home loan to get there. When retirement suddenly shifts from someday to someday soon, don't panic. OnPoint Community Credit Union can help for the new, for the now, and for what's next. OnPoint is here for every age and every stage of life. Join in. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Your daily dose of Oregon athletics. This is Duck Insider from Learfield IMG College.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Insider presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack here with you, our regular Tuesday guest, who we just decided is about to switch to Mondays. I know that's confusing. We'll tell you more about it later. Kat Mertz.
What's up, Joey Mack?
Head coach Oregon Soccer. What's going on?
How are you doing?
I'm good. It is Husky Week, but it's not really Husky Week for you guys because it's Washington State and Cancer Awareness Week. So
yeah,
we'll talk more about
that.
Washington
School Week.
Washington School.
Yeah.
Yeah. That works. The Evergreen State will be in town for, yeah. That makes sense, right? We'll talk more about that coming up. Zoe Hasenauer's goal against Cal. I want to start with that because that was an absolute snipe.
Yeah, it was a screamer. Yeah, I was really happy for her. And that was, you know, our Cal game was probably one of the best games that we've played all year and probably one of the best games that we've I've seen as a coach here. And so really happy with Zoe. I thought she played determined and you know, she's been playing really well as of late and within the Pac-12, and she's definitely a presence within the Pac-12. We have a couple of players that are doing really well within the Pac-12. And if you're doing really well in the Pac-12, you're one of the best players in the country.
That Cal game you mentioned, it was just a really well-played game. I mean, didn't come out on top,
yep,
but it was – that was a contest, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think we're all still reeling in a little bit with that one. And, you know, unfortunately gave up a goal in the last 2 minutes of the game and went into overtime. And I was actually concerned going into overtime. I thought Cal might have had the momentum there and could have, you know, walked away with a W. So I was proud of our team's effort in overtime to not give up a goal. And then the second overtime, we actually caught our breath and took it to them. In the second overtime, I thought we created some chances. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we challenged our players. After the Utah game, we were disappointed, and we came back to work and challenged them to work on a few things and challenged them to start strong, and we absolutely did that. And I couldn't be more happy for the players. And you know, and I know it stings, and soccer is that weird game that you can dominate all the sports and, I mean, stats and not get the W. But, you know, we're still in the hunt. I mean, our record and our RPI is 46, which is it's a great spot to be in. And we got 6 games left, and, you know, we got some winnable games.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because, I mean, I know the result against Stanford isn't what you guys wanted, but the RPI, I mean, this conference is – you have the opportunities ahead of you, don't you? I mean, is that kind of the message right now?
Absolutely. You know, Stanford's a beast. I mean, they beat Washington State 5-0. So,
right.
You know, I mean, everyone kind of, you know, takes their hits against Stanford. And, you know, I mean, I think if we win and we beat Cal, maybe we have some more energy in life going into Sunday. But, you know, and they get a handball in the box late in the first half. And
right.
I thought that was kind of questionable. And you would go to half 0-0 and boom. But, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think everyone knows you have to be 500. Duke got into the tournament 2 years ago being 500. And actually, I think it was about 3 years ago. And then they went into, you know, play for the national championship game.
Right.
And so, you know, for us, the Pac-12 and every game here on out is a great RPI point getter. And sitting at 46, 6 games remaining in regular season, yeah, I mean, the goal is let's get some wins.
Yeah.
You know, we could pick up some W's here and you know, be over 500 or be 500. I think we're in contention.
Well, that's kind of the big question, right? So everyone knows, we've talked about it, like, you got to be at 500. That's the soccer way that things work,
yep,
for actually most NCAA,
yep,
postseasons. So the first of the 6 remaining games is in Eugene.
Yep.
It's Cancer Awareness Game, 7 o'clock coming up on Saturday against Washington State, which is perfect because football kicks off at 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got your nightcap at Pape Field. I actually might be back in time.
Wow.
For the second half. For a 12:30 kickoff, we're thrilled. About 12:30 kickoff in Seattle. I'm really looking forward to it. Two-part question here. One, maybe just one-part question, then I'll ask the other one later, is this is the first time in a while that you guys have had one game in a weekend.
Yes.
Is that nice to have a little,
yes,
bit extra time, you know, heal up? Spend more time at practice.
And I couldn't be more excited to play Washington State at home, and they're a tough team, and they're good at what they do. And but we were able to give 2 days off for the players to kind of, you know, recoup and just take some time and go pay bills or go shopping or just like catch their breath.
Well, hopefully,
if you
paying
will.
Bills wasn't the first thing they had to do.
Well, maybe that was just me. Catch up with life, you know, and. Yeah, hopefully they, you know, found some time to just, you know, heal up a little bit. Most importantly, their hearts a little, you know. I think the Cal game, you know, that's a thing that we love about soccer is we love it, but you can also hate it. And I think you got to, you know, take a step back and be like, okay, let's have some fun this week. And so that's going to be the mission for us. But, I mean, Thursday night and Sunday, the fans were awesome at Pape. Pape was rocking, and we had a lot of youth out there. We had our alumni, and the stands were packed. And so, I mean, the goal is to do that again on Saturday night. And, you know, we'll be wearing our pink jersey, but, you know, we wanted to honor everyone, you know, in their fight against cancer. And, you know, we do a big thing in the spring for St. Baldrick's, for childhood cancer. And, you know, for us as a staff, we want to be able to, you know, support the fight against cancer and not just one specific type of breast cancer. So I thought it was important for us as a team and as a staff to really come together. And, you know, I think we're lucky, you know, we get to play this game. We're afforded all these wonderful, you know, benefits here at the University of Oregon. And I think sometimes it's nice to take a step back and be like, There are a lot of people out there fighting a hard battle, and, you know, what can we do to kind of help along in that fight?
You know, I love that you guys have done that. And before we get too far away, I want to talk a little bit about the alumni weekend.
Yeah.
And we're going to tell you a little bit more about, because I'll just say I think it's awesome that you guys and your program has been so active in that.
Yeah.
In cancer awareness. And I know that a lot of the alums, who those of you who are watching the show are seeing right now, all the alums back, I know that that's probably a pretty special piece to them, too. It helps build that family. What was it like, though, for the alums coming back? That'd be kind of fun, right?
You know, Marin Butler, our director of operations, she did a fantastic job of building this up. And it's been something, anytime a new coach comes in, it's kind of hard to connect with the alumni. And we've been working hard at it. And, you know, we try to reach out and have them come back. And, you know, we talk to our players a lot about, you know, the shoulders that they're standing on, you know, and you know, where the 81, 82 team, you know, what they had to kind of go through. And then, you know, when we reinstated soccer back into the athletic department, you know, what this program has gone through. And, I mean, you look at this class right here, Caitlin Wong started the St. Baldrick's Foundation, our fundraiser in the spring.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're 3 years into it and raised over $70,000 for childhood cancer research. So, yeah, I couldn't be more proud of the alumni. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to see some familiar faces.
Still just outside of the studio, by the way, is the framed picture of the NCAA Championship magazine that Caitlin Wong was featured in as a result of all of her work with the cancer awareness for St. Baldrick's Foundation. So here's a cool thing, and you'll see this coming on all the various Oregon soccer social media channels ahead of the Saturday 7 o'clock matchup, Pape Field against Washington State. Different color ribbons always represent different kinds of cancer. And you said that you didn't want to just have it be breast cancer. It's really for everything, which I think is really cool. Those of you who are watching the show are going to see some of the different graphics that you're actually going to see to promote the game, which it's awesome. I love it. And fans are actually going to have the chance to participate a little bit again this year, aren't they?
They are, you know, and I think it's, you know, we've asked our players if they'd like to. I mean, they don't have to, but write down who they're playing for. You know, my mom went through a fight with breast cancer, and I've, you know, my brother-in-law lost his mother to breast cancer. And, you know, we all have been touched along our lives. And, you know, my assistant coach, Coach Chris, her mother is battling leukemia right now. And, you know, it's an important thing for us as far as our family goes. And we've had players that have had family members fight the battle of different types of cancer. And I think it's just, you know, it just takes a second where you can take a step back and be like, okay, you know, this is the game of soccer. We want to win and we want to compete. But most importantly, we want to win in life. And, you know, I think if we have that leg to stand on and give back and give back to the community, I think it's important that we do that as a team.
I really appreciate that. I think that goes a long way, and you can see why she's a successful head coach. Kat Mertz is here with us. Now I feel like now it's hard to transition to talk about soccer, what's going to happen on the field. But, okay, so I have kind of a like a technical question for you. And you know that
technical,
I'm usually –
Technical, tactical, what do you want?
I'm usually full of at least one of these.
Let's go.
I try my best. So, Jordan Wormdahl, I've been impressed that she's got six goals on 12 shot attempts
this year. Yeah, I know, right?
So, So your reaction confirms at least I think what I was thinking is like, that's a great percentage. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're scoring on half of your shot attempts. Mm-hmm. What's like a good percentage in that category? Like as a coach, are you saying like, oh, if you score on 20% of your shot attempts, is that really good? Like, what is like an impressive number there?
It is. I mean, it's hard to get shots. And I think if you look at some of the top players in the country and when they're winning the Herman Mack Award, Trophy Award, they've got upwards to 100 shots, you know, and 100 plus, close to 200 shots. And so we talk to our team a lot about taking shots. You can't score unless you shoot the ball. I mean, you know, I think Zoe's kind of like really taken on to that.
hey, it worked against Cal.
She'll shoot from anywhere, that kid. But absolutely. I was actually just talking to Jordan about that last week and really impressed by her efficiency rate. And, you know, I told her she reminded me a little bit of Marissa Everett. And
sure.
there was a weekend where Marissa only took two shots all weekend and she scored both goals. And so I think, you know, being efficient and being in the right spot, being in the right place is really important. And, you know, it's great to have Jordan Wormdahl back on the field, and she's such a competitor, and she's fired up. I mean, I think all of our team is fired up. You know, we're hungry to get the result, and that's an important place to be in. You know, we all want to go out there and, you know, show well against Washington State.
Keys to success, 7 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, they're good. I mean, they're good at what they do. They have some athletic players up top. We just have to nullify their attack. And, you know, let's be honest, the best way we defend is by keeping the ball. And we're really good. We've got a great midfield. We got some technical players out there. And when we get anxious, we start turning the ball over in silly spots and, you know, unforced turnovers. And we're back on our heels. And we have to be confident on the ball. We have to move the ball. We have to stretch the other team. And when we do that, some really great things happen on the field for us.
Washington State, Saturday, Pape Field for the Ducks. And it is cancer awareness. You'll see more info on GoDucks.com and follow at Oregon Soccer on Twitter.
Yeah, we need all the help we can get, man. We need some fans. Let's go, Pape.
This is going to be a fun one. And, yeah. You know, look, we talked about the RPI, where things stand. I mean, some wins.
46?
Yeah.
That's a great RPI. So, let's go. We need this game.
Awesome. Kat Mertz, head coach, Oregon Soccer. Before I let you go, you want to enjoy a little bit of Husky Week with us?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so at the Oregon Duck, follow him on Twitter. He's, you know, he's something else.
I love the Duck.
He, you know, he's the best. And he tweeted earlier, at Harry the Husky, you've been listening to Kids Bop Spotify. at Harry the Husky's favorite dance move is the floss.
Hey, you know, that's actually kind of hard.
At Harry the Husky is indifferent on pizza.
How can you be indifferent on
pizza? Yeah, that's not right.
Uh-uh.
And at Harry the Husky doesn't like fireworks.
Oh, that's boring.
Yeah. One more. At Harry the Husky hasn't seen Endgame. Yeah, that's not right. This is our mascot, and we love him dearly. And
the duck is amazing.
You know, he'll be back, I'm sure, from Seattle for your guys'
in
matchup.
Time.
No
that
doubt.
Would be amazing.
No doubt.
Wear a raincoat, right? But let's go. The duck is awesome.
I don't think I've ever seen the duck in a raincoat.
I know.
I think the duck just kind of... He's in his natural habitat.
That's right. He doesn't need a raincoat,
need a raincoat,
right? He's got feathers.
Yeah.
The water beads off his feathers,
yes.
Right?
He is that
Isn't
majestic.
That?
Isn't he? Kat Mertz, head coach.
All right, you guys have fun.
Hey, thank you.
Good luck up there in Husky territory.
Good luck here in Duck territory.
Yeah, let's go.
7 o'clock on Saturday, Oregon against Washington State at Pape Field. Come out, support the Ducks. We're back after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
When you've got your sights set on a goal, whether it's planting roots, planning your future, or going for the big win, you do what it takes to make it happen. And OnPoint Community Credit Union can help. We support our community with local banking and lending that unlocks opportunities. Because just like our Oregon Ducks, we play as a team and we win as one too. OnPoint is a proud sponsor of University of Oregon Athletics. Join in at onpointcu.com. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of 7. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
You're listening to Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
My name is Bobby.
I'm a veteran and lost my leg to a roadside bomb. My victory was going from a wheelchair to becoming a weightlifting champion.
I'm Sam. I'm a veteran. My victory was finding a career that I could be proud of.
At DAV, we're on a mission, helping veterans of all generations get the benefits they've earned.
I'm Cece. My victory was finishing my education.
When America's veterans win, we all win. Help us support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
When severe weather causes telecom network outages, the FCC recommends that you call 911 only when necessary and limit non-emergency calls. Avoid repetitive redialing to minimize network congestion. Try texting if a call doesn't go through. Conserve cell phone power and turn off your phone when not in use. If evacuated, forward landline calls to your cell phone and use your outgoing message to update your status. For more info, go to fcc.gov/emergency.
Welcome back to Duck Insider, presented by Point Community Credit Union. Today's show brought to you by BuyMart, employee-owned, real value every day. My thanks to Kat Mertz for taking the time and chatting with us. Before we get out of here today, we still have a few more interviews to get to. Actually, just one interview to get to. Tomorrow on the show, we will hear from Mario Cristobal, Andy Avalos, Rob Mosley will join me, the editor-in-chief of GoDucks.com. We'll talk all things Duck football and beyond. Shane Lemieux, though, one of the better interviews on this team, there's no doubt about it. He knows a lot about this rivalry. He's been part of it for a long time. Shane Lemieux talked with the media. We jumped in on his conversation after practice today.
The thing that you've seen on field that's changed?
I think the O-line is just taking more emphasis, you know, putting more weight on our shoulders and really taking into account people saying the run game is bad and really just kind of having it in the back of our minds. That's kind of like a motivating force, I guess. You know, I think it's just, you know, it's just work. I think it's working every single day, working our fits, working with the running backs, and yeah.
So. Both teams play hard in this game every year regardless because of the rivalry, but do you sense they'll be pretty desperate given that they have to ground to make up on you guys in the stand?
Yeah, you know, I think the Pac-12 is still wide open, you know what I mean? Anything could happen. Obviously for us, this is the next game mentality, and we got to practice every single week, and I'm sure they're practicing hard right now too because it's a big game, and yeah.
Last year the win over Washington was kind of, you know, pegged as a statement win. I mean, looking back at it now, what did that win mean to this team and the program?
It meant a lot. I think it was kind of a win in the right direction for where this program is going to go. But obviously, if you don't do it year after year, it doesn't matter. So, it's a good win, and we're going to try our best this week.
How much pressure does having a top 10 defense at Oregon kind of take off you guys' shoulders?
We don't really think about that. Honestly, we watch them. They do a great job. But, you know, we still got to score points because it's Oregon. Yeah, so.
You guys pump in the crowd noise during practice these last few weeks. You think that'll really come in handy this Saturday?
Any away game, we pump noise in practice. Obviously, Husky Stadium's a big stadium. The fans are probably pretty riled up. So it's working silent cadence, that kind of stuff, like normal away game.
But did you have the sense, even in camp, that with Avalos, the defense is going to take it to a different level than they were?
I think we got a good offense, honestly, and just us working iron sharpens iron, working against each other. Fall camp, I think we had a rough kind of few weeks trying to figure out Avalos' defense, and then things got clicking. So, yeah, I could see why a lot of offenses are struggling against them.
I appreciate that honesty from Shane Lemieux. Honestly, that's a great interview. We're going to hear more from the Oregon Duck. Follow him on Twitter. It's Husky Week. It's great. It's awesome. I'm Joey Mack. Thanks for joining us. See you tomorrow.
I am a Senior Corps RSVP volunteer.
I build homes and young minds. I build parks and playgrounds.
And support our nation's veterans.
I build gardens and help families with their finances.
I build healthy futures.
And organize disaster relief.
I'm a builder, and I lead by experience. How about you?
Join Senior Corps RSVP.
Lead by experience.
At seniorcorps.gov.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road. But I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section and after Dad's back injury. They helped when you were in pain, and you held on to them just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Trouble with opioids can start at home with unused medicines such as pills, patches, and syrups. You can remove the risk and protect your family. Find out how at www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
Welcome to the Orphan Diaries. Here's the founder of Food for Orphans, Gary Van Dyke.
Ken doesn't know how old he is. He guesses at around 7. His whole life has been centered on finding food. You see, he lives at the dump and he's never been anywhere else. You can find Ken walking in a decaying landfill of rotting garbage, plastic bags, and shards of broken glass. To many, Ken and children like him are invisible. But they're not, are they?
For more information, visit www.foodfororphans.org.
You've been listening to Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Duck Insider is presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield, IMG College presentation of the Oregon Sports Network.